trust everyone had a good Thanksgiving. And, I want to, before I forget, it was last Sunday I forgot to announce about Thanksgiving and that. I have my mind so wrapped up in what I was going to preach, and I didn't think about it until I got, we'd all left out of here, and to tell you about Thursday and that. So, but I wanted to remind you, next Sunday we're going to have a church dinner. And after the service, and so I just wanted to remind you of that. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning, God, for this opportunity. Father, what a great opportunity it is, Father, to be able to gather like this, Father. There are countries, Lord, that are on parts of the world, Lord, that, Father, that the Christians and believers, they don't have the right to gather, Lord, actually in a place like this openly, Lord. And Father, we thank you for that privilege we have, Lord, and for whatever time we have left, dear God. And Lord, we're looking forward to the time, Father, of the rapture. Now I ask, dear God, that you would speak to us, Father, in this service through your word, dear God. Father, we pray for the benefit, Lord, of your believers. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Jude, the book of Jude. And I want to continue speaking on contending for the faith. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace, and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God, our God, into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, after destroyed them that believe not. You may be seated. To contend for the faith, you know, Jude writes. And what does that word actually mean? What is he saying, to contend for the faith? The word contend in the Greek means to surmount a difficulty or danger. It also means to assert or maintain that something is true. To maintain that something is true. It's a spiritual warfare. We're not fighting against men. We're fighting against demon powers. As Paul writes to us in Ephesians, saying that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness and high places. Of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But, you know, the devil, just like in the Garden of Eden, the devil had to have a vessel to work through. And so he looked down in creation and he saw the thing of God's creation that was the closest thing to man. You know, the Bible, when it describes the serpent, it describes him as the most subtle beast of the field. It doesn't describe him as a reptile, something crawling on the ground, a snake. Man is what brought that into picture that way. But Satan chose the serpent, and the serpent was the closest thing to man. It had a place for a soul, but didn't have a soul. And so,
You know, the devil could come down and embody himself into the serpent and come then and speak to Eve. And that's what the devil does today. He's got to have someone or something to work through. The devil, of course, the devil comes and he'll put thoughts in your mind and things like this and that. But one of the avenues the devil uses, like he did with Eve, to put the thoughts in Eve's mind was to have a vessel to come down that he could actually speak through. And so the devil does that today. He finds people that he can speak through. He injects thoughts into their mind, and then they in turn come, and as they believe this, they what the devil has to say, then the devil ends up speaking through them. It's the same thing with a preacher of the gospel. You know, there are men that claim to be preachers, and the words they have to say are the words of man. But, a real preacher of God, that's called of God, it's actually he yields himself to God, that God can come down and have a voice to speak to his people. And so then it's God speaking, using man to speak through. You know, God has no hands but your hands. He has no mouth but your mouth now. So that's why he could say, ye are the light of the world. We look and we say, well, Jesus is the light of the world. But Jesus now doesn't have a bodily form here on the earth outside of his bride. And so he speaks through his bride to give out his voice. And so when Eve was speaking to the serpent, she was hearing the serpent's voice, but there was a voice that was behind the serpent's voice. It wasn't the serpent that had stood there and brought the reasoning of God's word to Eve, but it was Satan speaking through the serpent. And what Satan wanted to do was, Satan wanted to, you know, he couldn't create. The only thing that Satan can do is try to pervert what God has already created. So he wanted to bring a perversion in order to have offspring of his own. And the only way to do that was through this soulless beast, having him to have a physical relation with Eve to bring forth a child, a seed that was of Satan, so that Satan then could have his own children on the face of the earth. You realize that if Eve would have never done that, the only ones that it would have been on the face of the earth was the children of God. And that is actually God's eternal purpose, is that one day the only ones that will be on the face of the earth will be the children of God. Because all those that are not the children of God will reject God's word, they will reject God's spirit, and thereby condemn themselves to death, which is eternal separation from God. And the Bible tells us that God is going to destroy the heavens and the earth, and he's going to have a new heaven and a new earth for his children. And all those that are not God's will be destroyed, and when God destroys that. Now, the thing is, you know, why do we have to contend for the faith or the truth or the word of God? Because there is opposition to it. You know, the angel Michael had to contend with Lucifer in heaven before even the creation of man. He had to contend with him because Lucifer had rose up with another doctrine, another gospel, to try to draw followers after himself, because the scripture tells us he wanted to be worshipped the same as God was. And, you know, you see this same spirit when you see men rise up, preachers rise up, and you see that what they do in their works is actually to draw people to themselves rather than pointing people to God. Now, they say they're pointing people to God, but they're pointing people to another gospel. And they're drawing people to themselves when they make statements like, you know, if you want to hear the truth, you've got to come here and hear it from me. If you want to hear the truth, you've got to hear it from God. Now, yes, as I said, God does speak through the office of his fivefold ministry. But these men are ones that have rose up to build their own kingdoms here on earth. And they actually attack those that actually are standing with the pure truth. Now, you know, many of you, as well as myself, we have witnessed over the years and know that there has been at different times, you know, once this message really got a foothold and there was churches being established saying they believed this message, that there were men that rose up taking certain things that they drawed from the message and they made actual doctrine out of it to draw people after themselves. And, you know, we could name some of them, Seven Thunders and Perugia and these different things and all that, you know, and what they did was, and anyone that didn't agree with their philosophy on it, their doctrine on it, then they were out. That same spirit is no different. We've got folks like that today, friends, that they're not actually perhaps under the umbrella of saying they've got a doctrinal, you know, a name out there doctrinally, like Seven Thunders or Perugia or something like that. But actually, they do project, you know, people that project their own belief of the message that actually stands in direct contrast to the real truth of the message. Now, you know, we have, I mentioned this last Sunday, you know, over the years, we have sojourned in this Christian walk over the years with many different people. People that claimed that they believed, you know, and then they would claim to believe the message, and then they, you know, they would be those that were actually known to withdraw themselves out of a church. This isn't a new thing now. They would withdraw themselves from attending a church and then start to visit amongst homes, you know, to try to propagate this thing to people that, you know, what Brother Branham really meant this. We're, you know, he was talking about the church. We're the bride. And if you actually attend a church, then you're the church. You're not the bride. You know, that Brother Branham was doing away with all that. Brother Branham never did that. But they'll point at this quote and that quote and this quote and that quote, you know, and what they do is they do the same thing that the priests had done, the Judean priests had done, when they took the writings of the prophets and dissected it in such a way that when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, actually came on the earth, they had the prophecy dissected in such a way that they didn't even recognize God in flesh. And that's the way that these folks have done. They take it to where, friends, look, you can present it to them, but you realize this, they've already heard it. You say, well, why can't we just let them go on and we'll just go on? I'm all for that. The problem is they won't just go on. You know, as Paul wrote, they creep into houses. What, and then draw people after divers' lusts. Now, the thing is, people, you know, they'll come and they'll say they believe the message, but here's the thing. Brother Adam said, Satan knows whether you really believe or not. You can't make believe or play with him. He knows whether a person really believes or not. And I'll tell you this, eventually their folly will be made known whether they believe or not. Because there is a fruit of the gospel that goes along with actually believing the word of God. And just saying you believe it and then not your life not being able to produce the fruit that proves that you really believe it, then you don't really believe it. Something, you know, they said unto the word, but something has got to happen down in the heart. Unless, and you realize, if there's nothing in there, if they do not have a seed gene of God there, then there is going to be nothing in them for the word to bring to life. It's no different than, you know, they become religious. But nothing ever happened in their life. Nothing ever happened down in their heart. Oh, sure, they can, you know, they can start to have a form. They can start to, you know, dress like, try to act like, you know, quit doing this and quit doing that. But no transforming effect actually happened down in their life. Then eventually, friends, they're going to go back to all the things they quit doing. They're going to go back to it. Why? Because they got nothing to hold them. There is no anchor in their heart and soul. Now, you know, Satan came and attacked Job. And Job had to contend with Satan over what he really believed. But it wasn't, if you notice, when you look through the book of Job, you know, yes, Satan came and, you know, he would try to bring thoughts to Job's mind. But who did Satan actually use to speak from? His friends. People who claimed to, you know, to be believers with him. And Satan spoke through them, and that's how Satan tried to attack Job's faith. But you realize what it was. Job had a revelation. He had a revelation of God. Now, you realize that as you read through the book of Job, that Job received further revelation. But Job had a revelation of God. You know, it says that Job had went thinking that perhaps, you know, my children have done something they shouldn't have done. I'm going to go offer a sacrifice. Job had a revelation. And Job did everything that he knew to do. And then when Satan attacked him, and look, friends, you realize God allowed Satan to attack Job. God allows Satan through people today to attack you. But what are they really coming against? They're coming against God. They're coming against God's word. When they come against what you are standing for and believe, they are actually coming against God. Once you have a revelation, friends, then that anchors in your heart. Now, you know, some folks think, well, if I got a revelation of it, that means I would be able to, you know, be able to expound upon these things and be able to explain them to others and things like that. Look, friends, some of that comes with gifts that God gives people. Having a revelation is to believe it. Now, turn with me.
I want to read from some different scriptures here. Turn me to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Paul writes here, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." Now, Paul was not speaking of his time. Paul said, in the latter times, that there would be those that would depart from the faith. Now, there were those that departed from the faith in Paul's day, and Paul dealt with that. But here, Paul is actually prophetic word that's talking about in the latter times, or actually when the end has come. In, you know, the Bible says in another place, we'll read in a minute, in the last days, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You know, you think about those that have left the faith. They sat and heard the word. They saw it in the Bible. The things that actually proclaim the things of the world to be wrong, proclaim the things that worldly living that the denominations do, proclaimed it to be wrong. And then they leave the faith and they go out and they do those very things. Why? They still believe they're all right. Because they don't believe what they had sat under and heard preached. They believe I can do that and I'm still okay. And their conscience doesn't bother them because it's been seared like with a hot iron. Nothing can penetrate that conscience. Brother Branham actually says their soul pulls back. But when it comes time to die, he says that soul will return to them. And then they'll realize they're without God. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Who are these seducing spirits and doctrines? Where is the doctrines of devils coming from? And who are these seducing spirits working through? People that once said they believed the truth. The end time truth is the faith that the scripture is speaking of here. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I know we read these scriptures last Sunday, but I just wanted to read them again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. "And with all the deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." They didn't receive the love of the truth. That's why they can turn their back on it. That's why they can depart from it. "For this cause, God sent them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." They believe they're all right because they're believing a lie. Now, we look at people that are, you know, church members within these denominations and church religious realms and things, you know, and friends, look, even, you know, outside of even what we think of when we think of religion, you look at all the other religions of the world, that they believe that they're right. They
have believed a lie. And because they believe a lie, then they will be damned because of that, because they've rejected the truth. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and let's begin reading at verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. That's why they treat you the way they treat you. They despise you because you are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins and led away with divers lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men as theirs also was. Listen, from such turn away. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Listen to me. You know, I know that, many times what we think of when we think of sharing our light with others and sharing the truth with others and things like that, you know, you want to have a hope in your heart that, you know, anybody can get saved, anybody can get right, and that, you know, and we do believe that. But the thing is, what you've got to realize, there are people who are born into this world serpent seed, friends, that your light and God's word will not have an effect on them. So how do you turn away from them? If you realize, you think, well, I don't know who could be child of God and who's not. Listen, you cannot have fellowship with people who their every motive is dragging you down from what you believe, attacking your faith. And you realize, listen, friends, they do this, yes, they do it because the devil's speaking through them. But they also, they're able to yield to the devil for him to speak through them, because here's the thing about man and mankind. Man and mankind, they want to feel like they're all right. They want to feel like that whatever they're living and doing and saying, that they are just in doing it. And so they have to find things to justify that. And your life, living in line with the word of God, is a direct contrast to what they're trying to justify how they're living. So they must attack what you believe. They must attack how you live. And they're going to attack people, that believers, that you associate with. Because if they have left the faith, and if they have left families and left the faith and left believers, then friends, you being part with those believers and with the faith, you are a testimony to them that they are wrong. So, you know, you say, well, you know, do I talk to them? Oh, yeah, I talk to them on the phone. Are they building up your faith or trying to tear it down? If they're trying to tear it down, then that's not edifying to you. And if it's not edifying to you, it is destructive to you. Look, friends, we have enough of thoughts that are not productive that fly through our heads without adding to that other unproductive thoughts of these people who are against the faith. They're against you living for God because it shows up their life. You say, what do I do? From such, turn away. Look, let me ask you a question. Now, I'm going to ask this from a carnal perspective first. How many of you, you know, in this day and age, get unsolicited phone calls to your phones? You know, they call it spam or whatever, but it's people trying to call you and say, hey, you now qualify, we've realized, for a loan, and we would like to give you one. You're pre-approved. Or trying to sell you something. And this is, you know, what is called spam. You know, telemarketers. So the thing is about these telemarketers, they'll be so persistent that if you don't answer that call, they're going to keep calling your phone. So what do you do with the modern day things that we have on our cell phones? We block them. Block that number. So that when they try to call your phone, your phone doesn't ring anymore. You know, I know if your phone's like mine, you know, the number will still pop up. Somebody's trying to call you now, but your phone don't ring, you know, and it just right away, your phone just automatically doesn't answer that call. And so you don't got to deal with it. Now, of course, you've got voicemail. So they, many times, because it doesn't answer, it'll go directly to voicemail and they'll leave a message. Even if it's something that's computer generated, it'll leave a message. And being that we are curious humans the way we are, many times we'll want to go listen and see what that message was. I got to where I don't even want to listen to it. So when it pops up, my phone pops up and says, you got a voicemail, and I know that it just came from a spam call, it's a number that I have blocked or something else, I just go in there and delete that without ever listening to it. Because I have no interest in what they've got to say. Now, it's the same thing when you're dealing with people that are against the faith and that are against your life and you living for God and you serving God, and they're against where you go to church and they're against what you believe, and they want to call you on the phone, and you know that all they're going to do is talk about things that are not going to be beneficial to you and that are not going to help you, that's not going to encourage you, it's going to be meant to tear you down. And so what do? Block their number. So then they'll leave a voicemail. So what do? Just delete it. Don't listen to it. You know, it used to be, you know, back when, you know, everybody had landlines before cell phones and all that, you know. And before caller ID, how many remember was having a caller ID hooked up to your phone? And before those came out, you know, the phone would ring and you'd just have to answer it. And, you know, people trying to sell you something, telemarketers on, they always called at dinner time. I've had people say, hold on, give me your number. I'm going to call you back by the time you're eating dinner. But, you know, you would call and you try to get off the phone with them. And you realize they got a script they go by. And so, you know, somebody has told them what to say. And so they try to keep you on there. And eventually you get to where you realize what you've got to do is just hang up the phone. Because they're not gonna let you say, look, I'm not interested, thank you. They're not gonna let you get by with that. They got something else to say. And so you end up having just to hang up the phone. Then caller ID came out. And you know, and then it would come up on there, something kind of telling you a phone number at least, or who was calling or whatever, and you could look at that and screen your calls. So you say, well, I'm not answering that. I'm not even going to pick that up. And you would have folks that you know, not, I don't mean this in any harmful way, but you'd have folks back then that were just busybodies on the phone. Yes. And they would get you on the phone, and they would just keep you on the phone, talking about really nothing. And you had things to do. You had things you had to accomplish. And here they were keeping you on the phone. Now, you know, during that time era, the people that worked, you know, you didn't deal with that as far as the phone goes while you were working. But it wouldn't be till you got off and got home. But those that, like housewives and different ones that maybe worked out of the home or whatever, they had to deal with that. Calls all the time. And, you know, back then, you know, I remember Jessica, when she lived at home, she, during that time era, she would be the one that would answer the phone a lot. And, you know, and then sometimes her brother Jonathan would answer it. But they were the two oldest, so they were more or less the ones that usually would answer the phone if I wasn't there to answer the phone. And there'd be times that I would be in you know, at the computer and things, and be studying for a message. And I would instruct, ma'am, look, just take a message. Don't, unless it is a dire emergency, I don't care who it is calling, just take a message and tell them I'll get back to them. Because they don't realize that, you know, when I get under this inspiration of these things coming, that, you know, if I got to stop with that and go deal with something else, it's going to break that flow. And it's not like reading a book. You can't just come back and start reading from where you left off. When the Spirit is coming and giving that inspiration, you've got to stay under that inspiration and anointing of the Spirit that's bringing that and opening that up to you. And so, you know, they would, when I answer the phone, they would say, sorry, Brother Jerry is studying, can't be disturbed right now. And, you know, and they've had folks that say, well, this is Brother so-and-so. Tell them this is Brother so-and-so. And they would say, that's fine, but the thing is, I'll take a message down if you want him to call you back, or if there's something you want to say or whatever, you know, but he can't be disturbed right now. And there would be people that would be put out about that. But, you know, I never felt bad at him. I realized they didn't have an understanding, you know, because, you know, they didn't have something like that working in their life, so they didn't have an understanding of how that inspiration comes and how those things go. So, you know, and many times people think that whatever's going on right then it's a dire emergency. And at times it turns out that it's really not. But, you know, so, you know, but you today, you know, we have these cell phones. No matter where you're at, your cell phone can ring. Somebody can send you a text. The thing about a text is, you know, you don't actually have to answer a text, but, you know, it comes up on your phone. It's not like not answering it. It comes up there anyway. And, you know, us as humans, we're more likely to read it. But if it's coming from individuals that you have realized that are detrimental to your spiritual walk, then friends, just block their number so you don't receive any texts from them. From such, turn away. You know, and you think, well, you know, I don't want to be rude to people. In these particular cases I'm talking about, it's not people we're talking about. It's the demons that are behind them. If they're calling you up or texting you and they are bringing, you know, accusations and things against the believers of your assembly, then friends, look, I'm telling you, there's a demon behind that. And all the devil's wanting to do is attack your thoughts with it. And the more that you listen to them, you are entertaining that in your thoughts. And then the devil can then bring and attack you with it to start to try to bring doubt in you. They're not lifting you up. Now, listen to this. Brother Branham says this in Questions and Answers, the COD book. He said, we've got to get in the spirit of the last days when the last days are here. If you go to a dance hall, you got to get in the spirit of dancing or you won't dance. You go to church, you got to get in the spirit of worship before you can worship. The world's got to get in the spirit of the last days before the last days can come. And we're in the spirit of the last days before the last days. And God is promising that these things would be here, and that's what we've got. We're in the last days. Now, why are we having to contend for the faith the way that we're having to? You know, at one time, contending for the faith in this message meant dealing with denominational people that were bringing the doctrines of their denominations. And, you know, you would have family members and different ones you would get around. And, you know, if you had left the denomination they were still in, then they were wanting to rescue you from what they felt you had went into error. And the only way to do that was to try to, for them to try to bring out what they believed from the scriptures. And to attack what you were following. They're in the spirit of the last days. But now, friends, the thing is, it's not so much the denominations that we're really having to deal with to contend for the faith. But it's people that at one time said, and some still say, they believe the message. There's those that say, at one time said they believe the message, and they've actually completely turned their back on the message and walked away from it and called Brother Branham false and called the message a cult. And, you know, and they, a lot of them wanting to stay religious will then leave and go back to some to denominational church. But some church that teaches it's okay for them to live the lust that they want to live. But you've got those that still claim to believe the message but have left the faith. They don't believe in going to church anymore. They don't believe they have to go to church. And because you do go to church, and because there is a church here that's preaching the end time message, they are against it. Now, you know, they're not going to come and say something ill about your church building. And if they still claim to believe the message, then they're not going to say something that would make it look like they didn't believe the message. So what do? They attack the local ministry. That is Satan trying to break down people's confidence in the ministry that God has placed there so that he can silence the voice of God to the people. Now, are these people benefiting you? Are they encouraging your faith? Well, their message, believe they claim to be the message. But have they left the faith? Have they actually left the truth that Brother Branham has preached? Then they're not being beneficial to you. Now, I know, you know, they go back and they say, well, Brother Branham said, you know, be drawing little circles and drawing people out. We should be drawing bigger circles and drawing people in. All right, I believe that. But what does Paul mean from such turn away? Paul is identifying actually the move of the devil in the last days. And he's saying from these that are under the spirit of the devil for the last days, turn away from them. You say, well, are you telling me to block their numbers? No, that's not what I'm telling you. Are you telling me you don't have any communication with them? No, what I'm telling you is when the communication starts to lead to something that is actually tearing down the things of God, then cut off the communication right there. Listen, if I was out somewhere and I came across somebody that I knew, and that somebody that I knew began to want to run down my wife to me, am I going to stand there and just let them carry on? And I'm not talking about getting into a fist fight. So what do? Are you going to stand? Are you going to walk away from them? And if every time you get around them, that's what they're doing, then you're not going to want to get around them anymore. Now, I want to make these things clear because, you know, folks think that I'm trying to turn them away from their family and turn them away from people and all this, you know, and things. No. Look, friends, I've got family that I love, extended family. You know, cousins and uncles and aunts and that, you know, and I've got some that are religious and I got some that aren't religious at all. Now, if they were to call, one of them was to call me on the phone and want to talk to me, I'd pick up the phone and I would talk to them and things like that. But you know, if they don't have any desire to seek the Lord, then I'm not seeking them out. You say, then how are they going to know anything about the truth? Friends, don't be so deceived. They know enough that they have saw your life over the years. That they know that you are a believer of God. Look, why do you think that when they get sick or diagnosed with a disease or something like that, that they call you up and say, hey, pray for me? They might not really, you know, talk to you much any other time, but when they got a need, pray for me. That shows you right there they know enough. My dad's family, you know, they would, when I was growing up, they would have family reunions and things. And my dad never was one to go to them. I said, well, that's your family. my dad would say, look, if I go there, they're going to be drinking. They're going to be smoking. They're going to be, you know, having their worldly conversations and all this, you know, and using foul language and everything. I'm not going. But they're family. Doesn't mean I don't love them. Doesn't mean that I won't go visit them individually or answer the phone when they call. But it means I'm not going to have an association with those things. From such, turn away. How can light have fellowship with darkness? You say, well, I've got kids that, you know, they don't come to church and they're not believers. You know, are you telling me that I can't associate with them or I can't have a gathering with them? That's not what I'm telling you. But I can tell you, the more you live for God, the less they're going to want to hang around you. The people, why are the people doing what they do today? Because they're in the spirit of the last days. Why are people turning away from the message? Because they're in the spirit of the last days. Having a form of godliness. Let me read this to you. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, keeping up a show of observing the outward forms of religion, but renouncing its power and its influence over the heart and life. It is a rejection of the transformative work of the Holy Spirit in the person's life. Denying the power of godliness results in a lack of spiritual growth and an absence of supernatural demonstration of God's power in their life and no fruitfulness. Listen to what the prophet says here. This is in Message Wisdom versus Faith. See all the things, these denominations and things. They got such a thing in such a conglomerate of a muck and sin. Just like the womb of the earth has got the creation. That's right. Oh my. How can it happen? How can the true word of God grow on these bobbed-haired, short-wearing, cigarette-smoking, bully-out-hanging church joiners? How can it do it when such pleasure-loving, seeking crowds as that hang out and love such things as that and love in the world? How can the love of God come in? How can the seed of God grow in such a ground as that? It'll never take root. Now, when he's talking about the seed of God growing here, he's actually talking about the seed of the word that is sown. He goes on to explain this by the preaching of the gospel. How can a lily seed live and grow when it thrives on water? Grows in those dusty denominations. How can it do it when it thrives on water? Water is the spirit. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power of the Spirit. Though the word falls on them, it can't grow. It can't grow. It's just like the word was on Eve, but it couldn't grow. She accepted wisdom, Satan's wisdom. The word comes to them. The word falls upon them. It falls on them. They can hear the word preached. And then he says, did you ever see people set in the church? They never will make a move. Preach to the women year after year, still got bobbed hair, talk to men about smoking, women about drinking. They drank right on just the same, like pouring water on a duck's back. It ain't got no place to grow. And what he's talking about, the seed of the word of God is falling on them. But there's nothing in their heart for that seed to grow in. That's why they can come and attend the services for years on the end, and you look back and see there's been no spiritual progress happen in their lives. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, a lot of times people in the message, you want to marriage... measure spiritual progress by whether, you know, if they're wearing dresses or got long hair or whatever, you know, and things like that. But friends, look, they can quit wearing long dresses and cut their hair and start wearing pants and everything else, because that's what they do. That's not an actual mark of a spiritual growth. That's no more than somebody trying to turn over a new leaf. But it's when something supernatural happens down inside the heart that brings a change. Then they're living the way they're living and not wearing those things of the world and not doing those things of the world because they no longer have a desire for it. They actually have a revelation of what God said concerning those things. And having a love of God more than a love of their own selves, as the Bible says, that they want to, you want to live a life that actually is pleasing to God. And the way to live a life pleasing to God is live a life that is in step with the Word of God. Though the Word falls on them, it can't grow. Oh, they say, sure, we believe. He says, then show me the fruits of it. You know, you can talk, you can even talk to people that have actually, you know, left church and you know they're living a worldly life. Let's just say it that way. They're living a worldly life out there and that. And you come across them or they call you on the phone or something and you talk to them. Yes, hey, do you believe Brother Rand's prophet? Yes. Do you believe this message? Yes. Then why are you living the way you're living? They're not showing the fruits that they believe it. Look, if the demons, the Bible says, you say, I believe in God. Well, the devils believe in God and fear and tremble. But, you know, friends, look, if the devils really believe the word of God, wouldn't they turn from Lucifer and go back to God? They don't really believe it. They believe what Lucifer's told them. Just saying, oh yeah, I believe Brother Branham's a prophet, and yet your life doesn't actually line up with the word that was preached. These people, they don't really believe. And you realize what it is, they never had a revelation of it. Brother Branham said, you twist your baptisms, you twist your evidences. You make it fit some kind of creed instead of taking the word. Let the word bear its own fruit. You make some kind of a thing you got to do or bring an evidence of. Satan can interpret every evidence that you want to put forth. Sure he can, but he can't produce the word. That's the one thing that burns him up. You know, one of the things I like about when the Holy Spirit leads me to preach and along certain lines in a series and that I realize that I'm not going to get it all finished in any given service. And you know, you don't want things to be misunderstood, and you try to take time to make sure everything that's being said is completely understood in that. But you know, if you're going to keep preaching on it next Sunday, you can come back and take up from where you left off. And if you got to go back over anything, you can go back over it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word of God today. Lord, we want to contend for the faith. We realize, God, that, Father, that the devil in these last days, Father, he is bringing an attack against the people of God and what they believe in order to see how many he can draw away from it. Lord, it used to be, Lord, just the devil trying to draw people away from just serving God as far as going to church and things like that. But Lord, the devil has tactics today, Lord, as is spoke by the scriptures, it's going to be to turn them away from the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Lord, there's people that, Lord, that have left and went the way of the world. Lord, they don't believe this message. That shows they never believed it. Lord, they were like children of Jacob that came out of Egypt. They came out, Lord, and they sojourned, but they never really believed. Lord, they're not going to cross over. Lord, they leave and they go into the world and you think they would just be able to go off and leave the people who want to serve God alone, but they can't. Because, Lord, the devil in them wants to tear down, to destroy, to kill. Lord, and I think about those that came out of Egypt, Lord. Even though they came down to Kadesh Barnea, Lord, and showed that they really didn't believe the promise of God. Lord, they never went forth and said, "Look, we're gonna denounce Jehovah. We're gonna go off after these other gods." They didn't do that, but they didn't believe God's word, Lord, and you let them wander in the desert until that generation of people who didn't believe the promise died off. And they were not able, Lord, to enter into the promise because they didn't believe it. And Lord, we have to not only contend with people that go the way of the world in sin of that nature, Lord, but those, Lord, that leave, Lord, and but still claim to believe the message, Lord, but they've got something on them that wants to tear down the ministry. Lord, wants to tear down the church, wants to tear down the believers. It's the enemy. And Lord, look, Lord, I'm not calling these people the enemy, but they have allowed the enemy to work through them. And as the book of Jude says, Lord, we have to rebuke them. Bring fear to them to turn them away from going the ways of the devil. Save through fear, the Bible calls it. Lord, that when we hear people that are running down believers and running down the ministry and they're doing it to us, Lord, in our ears, in our presence, Lord, we ought to have the much God in us to be able to say, "Touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm," the Bible says. Lord Jesus, I ask that you'll bless your people today, Father. Lord, it's not easy bringing subject matter like this, God. But I pray, Lord, that it will take root in their heart, Lord. Strengthen them with your word, dear God, to stand in this last day against the wiles of the devil. Take on the whole armor of God. Fortify themselves, dear God. And what do we fortify ourselves with? The truth. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name.